Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
So last night I was really happy that when I worked on this sermon that I didn't really talk about the plagues when I was working on it. And I was happy about that because last night I laid down in bed and I was laying there and I thought my cover moved kind of funny. I was like, ooh, that tickles. But then I was like, why would my cover move kind of funny? To which I removed the cover and found a spider about that large crawling on me. And I thought, wow, I don't do good with one spider. I can't imagine having to deal with a plague, let alone seven of them. So I was really happy when I looked over my notes again this morning to see that I don't really talk about the plagues. I just hope I'm not around for that. A couple weeks ago, the grasshoppers started coming out, and they're just all over my yard. And I thought, man, if 15 of these little guys are annoying, I can't imagine what a whole swarm of them must be like. But all that talk about plagues and gross critters, just to say that I'm not going to talk about the plagues or gross critters. So once again, we see John talking about seven somethings. We've seen John talk about seven trumpets and seven seals. Now he briefly mentions seven plagues, and we'll see him talking about seven bowls of wrath. John is continually trying to get us to see the same thing over and over, which hopefully John's here started to pick up what he was laying down, that one day there will be the wrath of God that'll come, but that the wrath of God isn't necessarily thunderbolts and lightnings being thrown down as the ancient world used to think, but rather that the wrath of God in many ways was a good thing because it meant everything was being corrected. Everything was being put back to right. That things would either fall into place and become the way they were meant to be, or like Satan and his beast, they would be tossed aside. So John doesn't go into much detail about these specific plagues right now, but he does mention them. I think the reason that he mentions the plagues is you see right after he talks about what he calls the song of Moses and of the Lamb. So I think he's trying to get us to think of everything that Moses and the early Israelites struggled with. I think he's trying to remind us of their story and to think back to it so that we can hear this song in the light that it's meant to be in. They sing this hymn, which we've talked about this before. Revelation is full of hymns. Just everywhere you look, John is talking about a new hymn. And so if you don't like singing, heaven might not be the place for you. But so that's why when we sing, just sing loud and sing joyously, because even if we're no good, we're going to have 10,000 years and more to practice. So let's sing loudly. But this song that John hears, that these heavenly harpists are playing, and these angels are singing. They're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. It's a song that reminds us of the faithfulness of God and of the victory of God. It reminds us that Pharaoh or Caesar or whatever you want to call the ruler of the empire does not get to claim final victory. That the beast does not get to claim victory. That Satan and his army do not get to claim the victory, but rather that belongs to the Lamb, to his Father, and to their followers. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations, is what John hears being sung. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Is that I think this is pretty clear that if things are not true and just, then they are not the way of the Lord. That the way of the Lord has things that are true and just, And that's what they're meant to be. Every week here, and probably for many of us, probably daily, we pray that things would become true and just here and now. When we pray the words, "Let your will be done on earth just as they are in heaven." It's our hope and our holy task to live out the kingdom and to live out kingdom ways here and now in our time and our place. I've been thinking more and more about this over the last, probably about the last month or two, and I'm hoping to write more about it at some point. I've been thinking of the ways that we interact with people, the way I interact with people. And I've been thinking about how often I pray those words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." As I pray those words, I've been thinking, well, we hope that one day heaven and earth will meet and become one. So why don't we just start practicing it here and now? At the ministers and mates retreat for the district, I was talking to some of the pastors, and they were talking about how to handle certain issues. And I said, well, that's why we practice. They were talking about the need to forgive somebody and to make right. And they were asking, how do we do that? And I was talking to them, I'm like, well, really, it's not that hard. It's not always easy, but it's fairly simple. I told them, we as Christians are supposed to practice being Christians. You'll notice here weekly that we try to practice that. We practice saying, we have sinned against one another. And then we practice receiving forgiveness and saying, yes, I receive forgiveness. And then we practice making right by looking at each other and saying, may the peace of Christ be with you, and saying, and also with you. We practice this idea of being Christian. And so as I've thought about what it means to pray your kingdom here on earth just as it is in heaven, I kept thinking, what if my interactions with people, what if I just acted like I was already in heaven? What if I just imagine that we are already here in heaven now? Not saying that we actually are. There's still a lot of things wrong with this world. But what if we practiced as if this was heaven? The way we interacted with others. I've thought about this especially with those I disagree with. When I've looked at them and thought, how am I going to respond in heaven to those I disagree with? It's really challenged me to think about the way that we look at the world and the way that we live in the world. How does that affect the way that I seek for the good of my neighbor, for the good of others? And so that kind of brings me to what today is and why it's called Freedom Sunday. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a day that our denomination, along with others, have decided to partner together to purposely seek out solutions to ending human trafficking. It's kind of hard. One, because it is a fairly not visible issue. We don't often walk down the street and see a human trafficking deal happening. But I'm curious, and this isn't a rhetorical question, so I'm hoping for some feedback and answers here. How many slaves do you believe are in the world today? Any guesses? It is estimated, as of the most recent estimations, which took place just 4 days ago, it is estimated that there are a total of over 40 million slaves in the world today. That is almost 40 times the population of Maine. And even though slavery has been banned in every country, as far as I know, at least I don't think there's any country that still says, okay. As far as I know, they've all said, no, we are not for this, we are against this. It is illegal to own another person. even though it seems, like I said, as far as I know, that every country has banned this, we have more slaves today in the world than ever before in history. And it's kind of crazy to think about. Because we don't see it. It's fairly invisible. A large percentage of that slavery comes through the industry of human trafficking. I think even to when I was in college, down in Quincy, Massachusetts at ENC, one of the things that the cops used to tell us was, be on the lookout for businesses. If you see that a business is constantly changing, let the police know, because it was more than likely a human trafficking ring. The last time I was down there, I was just a couple months ago. Spencer Shaw, one of my friends, was in town, and we were there. And we passed by to, I think we were going to Wendy's or China Jade or something like that. And we passed by a house, and he pointed it out. He says, you know, they just got busted about 3 days ago for running a human trafficking ring. It's more common than any of us would like to believe. It's things that I personally struggle with when I think about it, because I benefit from it at times. Not necessarily the human trafficking piece, but there are also slaves in parts of the world where they are forced to produce products that I end up buying. I had a friend at Camp Sebago one year. We were at a popular chain store. I won't name them right now just because of being recorded. I don't want them to somehow find out and get me in trouble with them, because they could do a lot of damage to a little guy like me. But there's a fairly well-known chain that they're working on it, and they're getting better. But at this point, when my friend was over from Camp Sebago, we went to this store, and he's from England, and he looked at everything, and he said, how is everything so cheap? This is terrific. And I just made a comment real quickly, well, it's from slave labor. And he said, that's a terrible joke. And I responded, that's not a joke. This company buys from others that have used slave labor. And it hit me that day that I should seek ways to not buy into the system. Because it's easy to not see these things. It's easy to reap the benefits and to not ask questions. And it's hard because I know that my brothers and sisters around the world, they've ended up suffering because of this. There are places around the world where it's not too hard to find images, but I wouldn't necessarily suggest it, that there are buildings around the world where they have nets surrounding them above the second floor. And the reason for it is because in these buildings, slave laborers were being forced to work. And they were getting to the point where they were so sick of working and so sick of the slave labor that they thought it would be better to jump. But then they're caught in a net and they're drug right back in to continue. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, one of their goals is to help fight these systems, to help make this place truly more like heaven for everybody. That to set things to right, to work as kingdom people, to help make this place much more like the kingdom than it is. I think that's part of our job, is to be kingdom citizens and to work for the kingdom. Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. I think it's our job as Christians to speak life into dark places, to do what we can when we can. And honestly, I often struggle with this. Even on the Freedom Sunday website, they talk about this, where they say, what can someone as little as me do against such a beast like human trafficking and slave labor? Although it seems like we can't always do much, there is things we can do. Supporting organizations and ministries like Nazarene Compassionate Ministry, who are fighting the good fight, who are placing people where they need to be, that are setting up places all around the world of being able to bring people in and get them out of that system. As I mentioned earlier in the announcements, on the handout there's a link that if you want to go to it, it'll give you tons of information of ways that we can support what's going on and to fight against the injustices of this world. And I'm a strong believer in prayer. I think prayer does immense amount of good, that it helps to align our wills with God's will and to open our hearts to God's heart and to help us join into the movement of God. And so would you take a few moments to pray with me this morning? Almighty God, we pray for those whose voices are not heard. We pray for the defenseless, the imprisoned, and the broken. We pray for the rescue and the restoration of those who are enslaved, both at home, as this stuff is happening even in our own state, and also for those enslaved around the globe. We pray for your redemption, O God, in each circumstance of victimization. Though bound by the sin of exploitation in this present world, we pray for the freedom that is found in your Son, our Savior Christ. We pray, O God, for those who battle against human trafficking and for those who give their time, money, and their hearts to serve the victims. First responders, activists, advocates, counselors, social workers, and churches around the world. We pray for wisdom, compassion, discernment, and empathy. God, would you help us to be a bright light in a dark place? God, would you help us to not believe the lies of this world? It seems way too often that we normalize terrible things like this. Would you help the evil of this to truly be exposed? God, we pray that like Paul, that those who exert power over other human beings, those who exploit others, those who are treating your people as objects rather than images of your Son Christ, would you convict their hearts? Would you show them the true light? God, would you be with the vulnerable, those that run away from home, those that are single and lonely, those that are abused or not from the country they are in, those that are in foster homes? Would you give wisdom to caretakers, including parents, teachers, leaders in the church, those that transport children to and from, for coaches and for authority figures? Almighty God, would you help us to be a society that does not let this be okay? Would you help us to make compassionate decisions? Would you help us all to see that people matter more than stuff? God, would you help us as the church provide tangible comfort, real support, and real protection as we are called to be your agents in this world? God, we ask these things through the name of your Son, who is all-powerful and who has broken every chain imaginable. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve him today.